Welcome to this edition of Barry Broadcasts. Today we'll be focusing on giving. Churchill once said, "We make a living by what we get, we make a life by what we give." I've also heard, in life you can give away your work, your wisdom, and your wealth. Whatever your approach, giving enhances one's life in whatever form it takes. I'm Pat Barry, Managing Partner of Barry Investment Advisors. Today I'm here with Liz Garvey, Financial Planner on our team. She's also been with the firm for 8 years and works closely with clients on giving matters. And given her experience with high net worth families, she's seen a wide range of giving needs from family matters to legacy planning. We're also joined by John Vasconcelos, president of the Community Foundation of Southeastern Massachusetts, who will share with us some of his insights into how to think about giving, given his deep experience in philanthropy space. We'll discuss how you can work with a community foundation if you'd like to have a direct impact on your local community. Liz and John, welcome, and thank you for being on the podcast. Liz, what are the most common ways you're helping clients with their giving needs today?
Thank you, Pat. Happy to be here today. I would say the first is clients looking to help their adult children with, say, a first-time home purchase. They'll help them with their down payment. Other clients like to give to various charities, whether it be their alma maters or yearly donations for charities that are 501c3s. Some clients also set up their own personal foundations that they give out to various charities throughout the year, or they establish memorials for those who have passed. Another option is to use appreciated stock to help their favorite charity and transfer it from a taxable account to a specific charity. There is also an option to donate directly from your IRA if you are over 70 and a half, and this is referred to as a qualified charitable distribution.
We've also seen a lot of demand for donor-advised funds, like the ones that Fidelity offers. Could you elaborate on some of the lesser-known features of the Fidelity Charitable Fund?
Absolutely. One great feature is that you can give anonymously if you wish. You can also contribute to the account and then distribute to the charities over a number of years, which is nice to be able to put the funds in and then use it whenever you see fit. You're also able to name a school, charity, or family member to be the successor participant of the account. This designates the remaining funds if you were to pass to a specific charity or to have a family member be in charge of how those funds are distributed to their favorite charity.
Yeah, we found that account to be very convenient for our clients. That's been a hit. I know you're not a CPA and can't give specific tax advice, but could you discuss how the tax cut has affected, you know, what clients are doing around tax deductibility with their giving?
Absolutely. Given the Tax Cuts and Job Act, it may make sense for a client to use a bunching strategy. The client would basically contribute multiple years worth of giving in 1 year in order to receive a larger deduction, and this would benefit both the client and the charity as the clients are able to continue their annual support and receive the tax benefit at the same time. In this case, it's always best to consult your tax advisor to determine the best strategy for you.
Great. Anyone can set up a plan, right? But it's equally important to make sure the plan is followed through. So what are some of the ways you ensure the client's giving wishes are carried through?
Well, we work very closely with clients, their accountants, and their attorneys to make sure, say, if a specific trust needs to be funded, that it's administered properly. And we also continuously review the beneficiaries that are listed on the account. So if you had a specific charity listed as a beneficiary on your IRA account and you wanted them to receive X amount upon your passing, we would review that with you to make sure that that would happen.
Are there any other resources or ideas that you'd like to mention?
There's a wealth of knowledge, online and through Fidelity Charitable as far as the various charities that are qualified and how many dollars of each charity are actually used towards their cause.
Great. Well, thank you, Liz. John, thanks again for being on the podcast, and congrats on embarking on your third year at the Community Foundation.
Pat. Thank you. It's great to be here. Happy to talk about the Cleveland Foundation.
Thanks. Could you provide some background on the foundation?
Absolutely. The Community Foundation of Southeastern Massachusetts was founded a little, almost about 25 years ago in the mid-90s, when a group of local philanthropists here in the greater New Bedford region realized that we needed an opportunity locally to consolidate assets that could come together to be managed as a whole and then reinvested in the community to build philanthropy for the long haul. We all know the challenges in a place like New Bedford and in the South Coast and southeastern Massachusetts. And this was an opportunity led by some very thoughtful, far-seeking folks who said, let's take a moment and bring these assets together and really build on this tradition of philanthropy so that we know generations hence we'll be better prepared to deal with some of our challenges.
What tends to be the motivation for the donors that do come to you?
There's a few different things that motivates a donor to come to a community foundation generally and specifically to us. But the one constant that you have across any community foundation is the term is quite purposeful, right? The community foundation, the foundation being that you're going to invest philanthropically for the long haul. It's going to be thoughtful investment, and it's also going to have a philanthropic purpose. And then the community side of the name means you're going to have local expertise. So a community foundation is going to be able to work with a donor who really wants to be very thoughtful, very strategic, and have a lot more impact in addressing some of the needs in their area, be it their own town, the broader region, or an area of interest. And so that is an app. So the whole idea behind access to good, thoughtful nonprofits, knowledge about where those changes can actually happen through strategic philanthropy, and similar to as Liz was speaking about, you also have the benefit of anonymity that folks can give through a community foundation and keep that arm's distance. And so the other thing that motivates people is education is a big issue here in any gateway city in Massachusetts. And so we found scholarships to be a very attractive way for folks to commemorate the success in their own lives. We just had one recently open on behalf of a father who passed away. And so the son created a scholarship fund to honor that legacy. And we love partnering with those where philanthropic passion meets really thoughtful intention.
I did see in your annual report that education, as you mentioned, and arts and culture, and health and human services were the largest areas of inflows for you. How do those terms translate into what's being done in Southeastern Mass? And would you say these are common goals of many communities?
I think there's a lot of similarity across communities. Education always seems to rise to the top. Certainly, health and human services are critically important, particularly in this day and age. But there's something unique, and say, for instance, here in New Bedford, around arts and culture. In the last couple of years, we've really been able to increase the charitable giving through the Community Foundation around arts and culture because there's something happening in this community that has been decades in the making that has made it a real arts and cultural destination. And philanthropists, in partnership with the Community Foundation, have been able to do some very bold, innovative initiatives. Just 2 weeks ago, we granted away about $200,000 in support of public art initiatives in New Bedford and Fall River that are specifically going to be engaging youth and more culturally diverse communities in public art, which is such a critical component of what it means to build a community that's an attractive, compelling place to live. And because the Community Foundation was able to take a lead on some of these initiatives, we had philanthropists who said, hey, I want to be a part of that. So they came on board and were able to move that that grant amount even further out there to have a bigger impact. So again, it's really about understanding where those points of leverage are in the community, where the need is, and then working to the with philanthropists to connect the dots.
And that's a great reason to reach out to the heads of the community foundations, because you're going to know what those initiatives are in each local community, and you could probably even introduce some people to the areas that they want to help, or you know, really help them connect them to what's important.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely quite accurate, Pat. Very often we will have donors who will establish funds with us, and they will have a general field of interest, such as I want to help develop women, female leadership, or help girls get through school. And then we'll work with them and say, hey, here are the really good organizations doing the work in the area of your interest. And that will allow them, one, to have an arm's distance, and also not spend the time going from organization to organization, and they get to make the decision around their philanthropy by partnering with a community foundation.
Do you help donors vet these charities, or how would they know if their dollars are really making the impact they're hoping for?
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking as someone who worked in the nonprofit community longer than I've worked on the foundation side, I actually think this is the most fun part of this work, is we have such smart, thoughtful nonprofits in this region. And so being able to work with the donor and have them go more deeply into understanding where the potential for their investment can allow them to really move the needle forward on certain issues is very, very exciting. And what I have found, a thoughtful nonprofit leader wants to be able to communicate with these donors either directly or through a community foundation to increase that impact. But the job doesn't stop with writing the check. We now have a relationship not just with the donor, but with the nonprofit that allows us to say, hey, how's it going? What lessons have you learned? How might we think about philanthropy differently going forward to make it better at what you're doing? Because what we want to do is create relationships between our philanthropists and the nonprofits, not just a transaction.
Great. What type of interaction do you have with donors' professionals, be it CPAs, attorneys, and their advisors?
Yeah, so that is a wonderful community for us to partner with, because many of them will reach out to a community foundation who have a client who wants to be philanthropic, and the community foundation affords them the right tool or opportunity to do that. We bring expertise to the table, and so we work very rigorously with a lot of different investment professionals. And the story behind community foundations, oddly enough, starts at a bank trust department in Cleveland in 1915, where a bunch of assets were sitting there and the bank did not have the expertise to give it away. And so they started what was then called community trusts, evolved into community foundations because of that level of expertise that is needed. So we work very closely, and if you go on our website, there's a lot of different resources there for professional advisors who might think a community foundation provides part of the answer to their clients' troubles.
Excellent. Problems. Now, you're working on an updated strategic plan. What direction do you see taking the foundation from here?
Sure, there's a couple of, the way we're thinking about this strategic plan is in two different buckets. First and foremost, it is absolutely critical that this community foundation become the best community foundation it can be. So we're always looking at the services we provide our donors, the interaction we have with nonprofits, our strategies, our policies, and always thinking about how can we be better at what we do. And so the strategic plan is very much going to move the needle forward on that. But secondly, we also have come to appreciate that there are certain areas of focus that we think as a community foundation we should prioritize for our region. And so education, economic opportunity, and arts and culture are three areas that we think, by going more deeply into understanding the opportunities and the needs there, that our donors are going to feel much greater impact, and we're going to actually be able to change our community in substantive ways.
Are there any other thoughts or ideas you think that might help our listeners take them to the next step towards their giving plans?
Sure. You know, philanthropy is a fascinating area. You know, oftentimes you'll hear folks talk about, well, that's really for very wealthy folks, people who are, you know, billionaires, you know, who have the capacity to really make a difference. But community foundations don't rely necessarily on that, but more, it's almost a democratization, if you will, of philanthropy. We all have an obligation, if we are successful in any way, to give back to society. We all imagine the world to be better than it is and what our role should be. So I would love, a community foundation is effective when we begin the conversation and invite folks to think about how they might be. You can open a donor advised fund with the community foundation with $10,000. And so right from there, you can start being philanthropic. And yes, there are absolute tax benefits to that, but you're also creating a legacy and reflecting what it is that you want the world to be by your being here and being part of it.
Right. And if you want to direct your fund with Fidelity, I believe it's a $5,000
yep.
initial.
It's a $5,000 initial
deposit contribution.
Yep.
Right. So to your point, John, most of us are not on the scale of Jeff Bezos sorting through 47,000 donor requests to help him give away the latest $2 billion of his fortune. For many of us, what and to whom we give is deeply personal and can make a tremendous impact to those we help. Whether you want to reduce your estate tax, bring your family closer by making an impact together, or give the gift of giving to another, keep in mind there are professionals that can guide you and help you brainstorm, as well as hopefully improve your odds of meeting your objectives and wishes. With that, we'll sign off on this Barry broadcast. I'd like to thank John Vasconcellos and Liz Garvey for their insights and expertise. Our regulatory information can be found on our website, and you can contact us for these documents. Thank you for listening.